Welcome to the Growing EBITDA podcast, where we unlock the doors to management and technology insights in the middle market. Join us as we explore innovative strategies to drive revenue and EBITDA growth, interviewing industry leaders and technology experts. Whether you're looking to streamline operations, understand the latest tech trends, or lead your company towards exponential growth, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and let's grow together.
So, James, let's start with a question.
Yeah.
When are we going to get some leaders and some technology experts on this cast?
I know. I was just listening to the intro.
People are waiting.
I know. It's embarrassing. I'm like thinking like, oh, no, we made a lot of promises on this thing and they get stuck with us.
That's a good point. A lot of hollow promises.
We'll go back and edit that one day.
A lot of empty ones.
We'll go edit that.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are we talking about today, James?
Yeah. You know, so right now, Mike, I'm calling in, podding in from Nashville, visiting some clients. And I just had a conversation today with a client. So I thought maybe we could talk about AI today, since it seems like it's something everyone's trying to figure out. And more as we go and meet with clients, we get asked about it. And since it's kind of on the top of my mind, if you're okay with it, I thought maybe we could talk about it a little bit.
Let's do it. Well, yeah, it is certainly everywhere. I feel like probably because of knowing you, I was an early adopter of ChatGPT. That was really kind of my first AI exposure. And I have to be one of their top evangelists and highest users. I'm not going to say that it does my job, but it certainly makes it a lot easier these days. And I can remember, you know, you go back 18 months, 12 months ago, probably now, and I would be talking about it at board meetings or with other executives and just singing its praises, and candidly was getting a lot of blank stares. People had heard of it. It was in the media every day, but I would say 9 out of 10 executives that I was speaking with 18 months ago weren't using it at all and had never used it and were cautiously interested in maybe learning a little bit more. Fast forward to today, I was in a board meeting this week and we spent about an hour talking about AI and how that's going to impact the business. Same thing last week in another session. So I think, you know, certainly the popularity is there now. Dare I say adoption yet? I think a lot of people who maybe hadn't used it a year ago now are kind of just finding their sea legs, so to speak, starting to dabble with it, including folks who I know that I know them not to be technologists, right? So a lot of kind of technology lay people, if you will, are starting to use it a lot more. And did a little bit of research just to kind of bait the hook for us for today's conversation. Nice. And it looks like about 70%+ of mid-market executives are saying that they plan a significant increase in AI investments in 2025. So not really sure what that means. I'm sure it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. I think one of the challenges is going to be, how do you show ROI, right? You know, my opinion, have tools like ChatGPT, ROI is off the charts. I pay for the, you know, whatever the expensive version is, like $20 a month, huge ROI. But certainly, and we'll get into this a little bit later, we're seeing a lot of AI tools out there that are looking like Cadillacs that can be very expensive. So be interesting to see kind of where people are finding bang for their buck as a whole new industry springs up. So excited to talk about it, and we'll dive into it a little bit here.
Well, I like stats like that, though, the 70% plan to increase, because as a guy who just recently had a child, let me tell you, having a baby, I now spend more on babies than I've ever spent in my life. And so I think when AI didn't exist before, when you have stats like you're 70% now plan to spend more, well, it's like, well, to your point, 1 out of 10 was probably spending something last year. Now we see that brought forward a bit. And I think that the interesting thing when we have these conversations is, not to date us, Mike, but a little bit of time, I can remember when the internet came into fruition and like I was using the Apple IIe playing Oregon Trail at school. And then like this crazy thing, Yahoo came up and I was Yahooing information and learning things from the web. And I kind of think through our time, there's been a ton of transformation, smartphone, tablet, we know all the things, but that kind of like true core, what's really changing business a bit. It's interesting. This is the big one that I remember because we went through blockchain, we went through machine learning, and machine learning still around to an extent, but went through these kind of more trend things. And, you know, if we remember like EFTs and all that, now we're into this point where we're like, hey, this we think is really going to hang around. And it's this AI. So I think finding a way that really isn't the buzz side that's truly tied to operations is a great place and why I'm excited to get in it today. So maybe you can kind of tee us up for our first topic.
Yeah. So topic number one, where are we seeing it add real value, right? We're still early days. A lot of folks are going to figure this out, try a lot of different options out there in the coming years, I'm sure. But where are you actually seeing it move the needle today in mid-market operating companies?
Yeah. To go back a little bit, and you said you sit in boards, which I think is a lot of the times we have conversation around what you're seeing and then how we're supporting other boards and allows you and I to kind of have a dialogue of what's going on out there in the business space. We started a program because we were asked about it so often by PE firms to do these one-day workshops where we go through the business needs and how AI can be a part of those business needs and help folks out. And so part of this program is we go through and explain what we've seen in the market and where we've seen it be successful. So I think it's good to go through a few examples that have come out of those discovery sessions and some tools that we've used that if folks want to know what the tool is, feel free to reach out to us. But we're going to speak kind of generally today about the tool sets that we think align to the different options. But kind of, I would say three, maybe four buckets we felt that folks have been pretty successful. Number one, we've done a lot of work with helping companies take large amounts of data and distill that data down for simple consumption. So where we see that a lot is in customer service. I have a customer service rep who needs to understand all their products, how to support, what needs to be done, and they need a simple answer. Putting a chatbot on top of a large amount of data where I can ask the chatbot natural questions like, when an order comes back damaged, what should I do? And have it very simply respond to help the client. We've seen that be successful. And that call and response is a little bit on top of what's already in the market before AI, but now much richer and much more efficient. Number two is around sales and inventory planning. So we've all seen those kind of like algorithms in the past, I would say seasonality, ship times, lead times, and help folks plan their procurement side. Well, with some of these AI tools, we can now start to see, well, it's a holiday around this time, so things go slower. The Panama Canal typically goes under maintenance at this point, so that container is going to be slower. And it really starts to bring some more rich data to help folks plan better and have more detailed assumptions when they're trying to plan their inventory and procurement. A third one is around finance. A lot of times people have used OCR, which is allows you to receive documents, scan those documents, and pull the text out of those documents. The OCR process got that in the system pretty quickly, but you still had to take a manual process to match that document to the right provider and make sure that the information was close. Now, with some of the AI tools, you can quickly load that document. It will serve up an answer that assumes to be correct. A human comes in and touches it, makes sure it is, and then it moves on in the process. And so I think those, when you think about those, almost like what we see on the in the warehouse, like cobots, where AI is bringing information to the surface and a human's taking action, is really where we see that actually move the needle. This, I dream of fully automated, where AI's doing it from the initial question till it's all the way answered, probably isn't a reality. There's not a tool that does that, but we have seen some clients be very successful with getting those answers brought to humans so humans can act.
Yeah, and I think what I'm seeing is the exact same thing play out, you know, more at the executive level, right? Mm-hmm. I think we're seeing even some of these simple tools like ChatGPT, I'm seeing a lot of executives being able to dump in business strategies, you know, and even a simple tool like ChatGPT, right? Like you can load in, hey, here's what this strategy that we're thinking about, or here's this problem that we're wrestling with. And obviously these tools can be phenomenal if you prompt them correctly, in really helping you refine your thought, right? So loading in a bunch of data, a bunch of context, and then challenging it to stimulate your thinking or challenge your thinking. And certainly that's how I'm using it on a daily basis, not just having it write 95% of my emails. If I could get to 100, man, we'd be cooking with fire. But
yeah, you're right. And that's that call response a bit, right? And that's interesting. You as an individual using that, again, as an executive over a mid-market company, that's a prime example of a very successful use case. One of the things we'll talk about later in the podcast is how to do that in a wise fashion, which I know you and I have had those conversations to make sure you're not loading the incorrect data and doing it correctly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that's a very practical one. And so maybe we go to our next topic, which is, since you brought up a practical tool like ChatGPT, where is AI kind of still a bit of hype in your opinion? Because obviously you go to these board meetings and there's a lot of truth in a board meeting, but there's a little bit of hype and a little bit of salespersonship where they're trying to kind of drive you to them, or you walking away feeling like they know more than they maybe do in some spaces. Where do you feel the hype is in AI, and kind of what have you been able to tease out and maybe double click on and understand where they've overhyped it?
I mean, specifically one of the things that I've come across a lot, just some things that I've been working on of late. There's a lot of marketing automation AI tools out there, which quite frankly are doing, in my opinion, what ChatGPT already does quite well, right? And they're doing it for an extremely expensive number. You may recall this conversation you and I had a few months ago where I was helping one of our businesses think about partnering up with a kind of a software vendor to help them explore a kind of a new strategy for themselves or for one part of their business. And I shared the partner with you and you're like, hey, whoa, watch out. Anybody with a .ai at the end of their name, like scrutinize them heavily, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's just a lot of hype out there. And some of the platforms that I've seen do exactly what ChatGPT does for free with a little bit of polish on the margin, admittedly. But they're doing what ChatGPT does for free or for 20 bucks a month for $20,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 a year for an enterprise grade tool. And quite frankly, I think they obviously have clients, they're companies that are in business. Hopefully they're doing well. We want everybody to succeed in this life. But I got to be honest with you. I think there is a lot of hype around some of these tools. I think you got to really ask yourself, could somebody take a few hours, which they should now have a few hours extra if they're using these types of tools productively, could they take a couple of those now unused hours and throw some content into ChatGPT and have that spit out some really neat marketing stuff versus paying for a Cadillac? I think right now the Honda, so to speak, is like 9/10 of the Cadillac. And before folks, you know, really start shelling out big dollars for some of the more expensive and admittedly a little bit more elegant solutions, I think you really got to kind of canvas the landscape and say, hey, which one of these companies do we think is actually going to be in business in 3 or 4 years? How much do we actually want to invest in this? And is there a free or near free solution? The OpenAI tool set goes well beyond ChatGPT, image processing, transcripting, things like that, which if we just stick in here in marketing for a second, those are some tools that many marketers need. And most of those are available for free or near free. You just got to configure them up a little bit, which the population of folks that can do that is growing quite rapidly, right? Independents as well as consultants. So I think you just gotta watch out for some of these hyped solutions out there.
Yeah. So Mike, one of the things that I think was really great that you've done is you've built some workflows for yourself for some repetitive tasks that you've had that you said, hey, I'm gonna go kind of apply this AI tool to help me in this very specific way. And we don't have to get into all the use cases unless you want to, but I think one of the things I'd be curious to hear from you, because you kind of self-served this and did a bit of your own training and your bit of discovery. So if I'm an executive like yourself and I'm like, hey, I got a few repetitive workflows that Mike mentioned today that feels like they could be automated, maybe you could just take us on a quick little journey of how you went through that discovery and how you learned to use the tool. And kind of, you know, I think one of the things I do know is you do experiment and failure, right? Like you test it out, didn't work, move on to the next. But like, what are some other tactics that maybe you use that you could share with our listeners of like, hey, get out there, get your hands dirty, try some things, and then, you know, maybe align and find something that works well like you do.
Yeah. I mean, I think it doesn't have to be an executive task per se. The example you're talking about was something that I do all the time. And I was looking for a kind of elegant, automated, low cost solution. I ended up figuring out how to take a process that took me about 20 to 30 minutes manually every time that I did it. And I did it, you know, 4 or 5 times a week. I was able to get that down to somewhere in the ballpark of 5 to 6 seconds per instance, right? So I wake up with 4 or 5 hours or maybe 3 or 4 hours, whatever the math is, more time available to go and do other things. But I think it comes down to basic fundamental lean principles, right? If you think about it from a process optimization perspective, if you've got workflows in your business where data is involved, there is a high likelihood that even a basic tool like ChatGPT, you know, maybe in a closed environment or Copilot in a closed environment, you know, you can take some of these basic tools and really streamline some of these workflows. And I think you just got to kind of challenge yourself to say, hey, let's look across this business function by function and say, hey, is there something that person over there is doing regularly that we could just spend a few minutes process mapping, and maybe we need to find a resource to help us stitch some of these discrete software programs that we're using as part of that workflow. Maybe it's CRM, maybe it's a tool as simple as Notes or something like that, right? How do we actually stitch these things together? There's a bunch of folks out there with some neat tools that they're using that they can do that, and just look for waste, right? Look for waste, map out the process, try and find an automated AI-enabled solution, and you can build some of this stuff for literally pennies relative to the amount of time that you're going to save. So it's early days, but we're starting to see some of these things emerge where, you know, even some executives like myself are able to cut out some non-value added time and pick up some extra time to go and be productive elsewhere.
As folks probably know, one of the things we do is we do a lot of diligence work. And as part of our diligence work, we receive a lot of large data sets from folks. And so one of the things we're going to talk about in a second is around that safety, security, privacy side of AI. But putting that aside for a second, talk about I have this large data set and I need to work through it. I'm not going to put that data in AI, but I want to learn a way to better comb through that data. I'll tell you, one of the number one use cases that we hear when we go and have these conversations is PE firms using the AI solution to help them build better Excel formulas, which is interesting, right? Because you're still using Excel, which is a highly manual tool. You're not using a full integrated system, but now you have this helper. And to your point, it's like, hey, this is inefficient. Come along with me for this journey. Help me become more efficient. So I think that's an interesting point you just made, because we see that in real life. Like, hey, I'm trying to figure out how to do this. Or I've never bought a business that's a business services business. What are six questions I should ask a business service business as I go to look through it? And I think those are a lot of those tools, you're right, that if you map those out and have a real honest conversation with yourself, they probably bubble to the top to know that that's something you need to focus on.
Yeah, and I'll give you another real life example. And I think this is just the really powerful thing about, I primarily use ChatGPT. The really powerful thing about that tool is it has no limits, really. You know, I understand it. If you start plugging in some political stuff, it might not, you know, be your best friend. But I'll give you an example. You know, real life case study. This isn't going to go transform a mid-market business, but it certainly transformed my week. A few weeks ago, I was headed to a conference, kind of a big conference. A couple thousand people were going to be there, and they encourage people to get to know each other at this conference, lots of one-on-one meetings. And I got the attendee list, which was, I don't know, 1,500, 2,000 people long, with some high-level information about each person, right? Name, firm, geography, like location, you know, some of their business interests, so to speak, just to keep this kind of generic as an example. I dumped that whole list into ChatGPT and I said, hey, based on what you know about me, who are the 50 best people for me to meet at this conference? And it spit back out in, I don't know, 13 and a half seconds, maybe, you know, on the top end, it spat out the 50 people that it felt like I should get to know, reasons and the logic around why I should get to know them. Then I prompted it to go chase down their email addresses because the list didn't have that. It came back with about 25% of those that were correct. You know, so I found myself in a matter of 1 minute.
Wow.
You know, if I were to go do that research on my own, it would have taken me weeks and weeks if I would have done it, right? And instead, I found myself 5 minutes later looking at this much more relevant list of 50, knowing exactly who I could reach out to in advance of going there because I had some email addresses. And it turned out to be very productive. You know, most of those folks actually that I met with were very good people for me to connect with.
Wow.
And I think you really just got to kind of challenge yourself to think about your everyday or your department's daily workflows or your broader business's pain points. And where do we have a lot of humans doing things? How can we do that more efficiently using this tool? And quite frankly, a great place to start is asking the tool for advice on how to use the tool.
Yeah. Right? Inception. Yeah.
Right? Like, hey, you know, I didn't do this with the conference example, but hey, I'm going to a conference next week. How could I use ChatGPT to help me improve my conference outcome? And I guarantee the thing's going to spit back, well, hey, I could do research in advance. I could tell you, you know, driving directions, how to get there faster, a bunch of different things. And I think, you know, the more people start using that tool, the more they're going to be able to kind of understand the use cases across their businesses. And then the more they're going to go and be able to explore out there in the universe of solutions and partners and options, they're going to be better served to go in and pursue some of those. So,
yeah. And you touched on a couple of things in there. Maybe I've been alluding to talk about it. Maybe just jump in around the privacy side, right? I'll stick to the example you just gave, which is an excellent example. That's publicly available data that you put back into GPT to become more efficient, right? Like you didn't take anything that was of a private nature. And so one of the things I want to talk about is like smart approaches and safe approaches to using AI. And so the example you gave is excellent. That's information that's out there. We see it on Zoom Info. You can look it up, to your point, if you did it manually, be going to Zoom Info and trying to find it. That's one. What we think is interesting, and if I may speak to my PE friends for a little bit, is folks are taking sims and loading them into GPT before a deal that's not done. That is one of those things that really concerns us that we see with our clients. To speak about Trivista, because Trivista is a business as well, is we have an internal committee of about 8 folks that their committee's responsibility is to be the governing body for AI at TriVista. So it's from everything from when we use it, do we have to quote it? Which tools do we want to use? What are use cases that we're okay with? And how do we go and build future tools that are, make our business successful? That governing body released a position that we keep up to date on tools that are approved to be used and tools that are not. It's very intentional, and it's a conversation we have, and it's a continuous education. Another thing about TriVista is every 2 weeks we have an all-hands meeting, and we kind of share information. AI now is on the bi-weekly share agenda because it's such an important thing to make sure we stay tight out and protected on because we deal with so much sensitive data and information. Outside of that, another way that to use it pretty intelligently is the same way you hear this phrase all the time, crawl, walk, run, right? Start slow and then build up. To Mike's point around, hey, where do I find things that I can do, do a little test and get better and better? You may at one point, now that you go to enough conferences, you may go and build a custom GPT yourself that goes and does that conference work. But asking it questions, exploring, working through it is a better way to start. One of the things I always encourage people is most of the tools today use OpenAI on the back end. So if you go into ChatGPT and do a little experiment and it's off limits, it doesn't help, it doesn't work. The likelihood of you creating a commercial tool at scale that would be able to solve that same issue is low. One of the things that we've done at TriVista to protect ourselves is we went out and got something called Azure AI. Azure AI runs on OpenAI, which is the group that owns ChatGPT. That allowed us to create a very safe, let's call it enclave, where we're able to load data in a secure way. That data doesn't go out to the web and it doesn't train models. It's only consuming the data that's out there. And so you hear this thing of like large language models or LLMs. It uses the large language model and then looks at our information and helps us align to the two of them. One of the things that we've been very careful about is ensuring that that data is protected. If you're a mid-market organization that wants to go build a really neat tool and you feel that you've done the small test, you've done the things that we've said, you think there's something important to do, then that is the time that is to go look at these tools that are more enterprise and robust. To Mike's earlier point, there's a heck of a cost when you go down that way. So the last point we'll make about this is focus on business first and making sure there's a business case that drives value. You hear Mike and I say all the time on the way to grow EBITDA is have a business case that creates value that you can stand behind with KPIs. The same needs to be applied when you think about AI. I'm going to go solve X issue. It cost me Y. The use case is Z. Those type of conversations need to happen around AI. It can be fun. Boards may pressure you. Friends may tell you they're doing things. But we'll say you still need to follow the basic principles just like you do with anything else. Anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
No, I think that was great. I mean, obviously the privacy thing was a huge concern 12, 18 months ago. And I think that what we've seen is ChatGPT and Copilot, et cetera, come out with versions of itself that are actually, you know, protecting data and things like that. And I think everybody was a little bit skeptical at first. I think everybody's kind of backing off that a little bit, but you do got to make sure that you're using an environment and you're loading data in that you feel good about. And obviously don't go use the public version of these tools and dump all your company's most sensitive data into them without thinking about it. So yeah, great feedback. So James, before we close here, I got one for you. What year was the term artificial intelligence first coined?
Okay, so I feel like this is one that I'm going to get very wrong based on the tee up because you chose this. And I know you're coming off a win where you got one right. So it's one correct and 11 wrong. So I'm sure this is going to be tough. I feel like the 80s was a big exposure for technology.
Are you an 80s baby?
You know, Apple 1984 commercial.
You are. See, that's why you thought that it was the 80s. You know, James came on online.
I am.
Now he's a technologist. You couldn't, it'd be tough to be further away. 1956. 1956. Yeah. At the Dartmouth Conference, which I do not know what the Dartmouth Conference is, but apparently, allegedly, 1956 at the Dartmouth Conference just goes to show you that AI isn't quite as new as everybody thinks. To me, it will always be ChatGPT's public launch date, which was like November 23, if I'm not mistaken. Changed my life for the better. Me and everybody else on earth. Yeah. But yeah, 1956.
Well, I can't believe it's taken us this long to figure out what really adds value and what we really is, I guess. It's a great term to come up, but I, like you, I can't imagine my life without it now, from distilling data to writing emails to researching things to even just trying to figure out what do I do in certain situations with having a baby. It's been a great tool and a huge help on personal and a professional level.
Definitely, definitely. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time. Don't forget to follow us, like us, subscribe to us. If you're going to DM us, DM James. He's kind of more hip to that. He's more hip to the DMs, but we'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of Growing EBITDA. If you like this episode, hit subscribe or follow us on LinkedIn for updates. Got a topic you'd like us to cover? Drop us a message. We'd love to hear from you.